Innovative, heartbreaking, and wickedly funny, Hedwig and the Angry Inch is the American musical by John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask, a genre-bending, fourth-wall-smashing musical sensation with just this amazing score, electrifying performances, which tell the story of one of the most unique characters to ever hit the stage. Winner of the 4 2014 Tony Awards, including Best Musical Revival, Hedwig and the Angry Inch played record-breaking sellout crowds to Broadway. Now is in Schenectady for performances tonight and tomorrow night. Hannah Cornell plays Yitzhak in the production, and she is actually returning home to play this role. She is a graduate from Shenandoah, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, welcome home.
Thank
it's
you.
Very nice to have you back. I would think, so I'm projecting, okay? So I'm just thinking of what this would be like for me. I would think, oh my God, I can't wait. It was going to be great to be home. And then, oh, I'm home. You know, like there's a double edge to that of, oh, I'm going to know a lot of people.
Yes, yes. It is definitely going to be a night tonight and tomorrow. It is such a great homecoming. And I feel so honored and grateful to have this immense support from family, friends, you know, past teachers. It's going to be really special. But of course, there's, you know, of course that pressure. But I feel so honored to be here. Absolutely.
It's very cool. At what point did you realize the tour was coming here?
Fairly early on in the actual tour journey. I think around like November or December, we got the tour schedule and Proctor's was on it and called my mom and, you know, you could hear the scream from California.
So now you're a musical theater kid.
Yeah.
Right? So you were in a lot of the Shen productions. So
yes.
I assume, I'm just guessing, but I assume you went to Proctor's a lot as a kid.
I did. And what's really interesting about Proctor's and my family is my great-grandfather was the first person to sign a lease at the Proctor's Arcade in 1926, a month before the actual theater opened, Musler's Women's Clothing. So the Proctor's has just such a connection to myself and my family. So tonight's really, really special, and that we're here, that
right.
I get to perform here and that my family has such a legacy there.
So do you think, and this is a very talk showy question, and I apologize for it.
It's all good.
But it is a talk show, so what the hell?
Yeah.
So you're sitting there as a kid, I mean, and you look at that, it's a massive, beautiful, stunning space.
Mm-hmm.
And do you ever think, did you ever like say to yourself, oh, I would love to play here?
Absolutely. I would sit there and I would think, this is it. And these are the people I want to be. And, you know, they've made it. They've made it. This is it. I mean, and like you said, it is such a beautiful space and with such a rich history. And there is an absolute energy there within those walls. And so, yeah, it's a really inspiring moment for me right now.
When the show played Broadway, of course, most Broadway houses are much more intimate, much smaller mm-hmm. than Proctor's, and then you go into this just Mongo theater,
yeah.
Which is just huge. And do you feel is that empowering in a way that you're taking over this super large space?
Absolutely, absolutely. It is so empowering, and I think, you know, this particular production of Hedwig really was put on the Broadway scale. And so yes, like you said, Broadway theaters are about like 1,100 seats.
Right.
And of course, Proctor's is much larger, but I really feel as though the technical aspect of this production really does fit that size theater, you know, of 2,000 plus people. But it's also fitting, you know, even if we don't sell out, it's still cool because Hedwig would play to anyone. You know, she is going to tell her story to anyone
sure.
that will hear it. And we're excited to do so, no matter, you know, who fills it up.
Is it nice to be on a tour? We just had the folks from Cabaret in last week, and I guess you know Sally
Bowles. Yes, Leanne Larkin, yes.
Yeah, so I think, now that's a big show that is touring, lumbering across this country, but there's just the two of you and a musicians and a cast, right?
Yeah, there's six of us on stage each
wow.
night.
So
yeah.
that's relatively small.
It is. It's a very intimate, collaborative exhilarating experience because we're all we have.
So you leave, you graduated, what, Syracuse University?
Yes, I did. I graduated Syracuse in 2011.
And then your story is you went to Chicago. You didn't go to New York. You went to Chicago.
Yes, thank you for knowing that. I went to Chicago after graduation, spent about 2 years there, and then got a job opportunity that took me to Atlanta and L.A. And then after that opportunity, I decided to go to New York.
Is that a common conversation that actors have of saying, okay, I can go to New York where everyone else is going to be going, or maybe I could look at someplace else to kind of,
of course,
get the lay of the land?
Yeah, of course that's a conversation. I think a lot of actors after college are like, what am I going to do? Of course the most common is to go to New York, but I just had this gut feeling I needed to be somewhere else. Also, I'm not, you know, the chorus girl. I'm not the chorus girl. So I knew that I was going to be playing roles because I'm a singer actor mostly. And so I knew that that wasn't going to happen right off the bat at 21 years old in New York City, not part of the union, et cetera. So I'm happy I went to Chicago. And I think that is a conversation that most actors have. And I'm happy I had it with myself and I went that route.
So not being a chorus girl, which is good, because this role is certainly not a chorus girl role. This is, you are an actor and you are a singer and you belt it out and it is amazing.
No,
so
thanks.
So what that seems like a dream, really, because you are the antidote to what else is going on the stage.
It is a dream, absolutely. I feel a great responsibility, and I truly love this character and what he stands for. He's a man.
Yes.
For those who don't know that. And so being an actor, that is such a great challenge and honor to be given this responsibility to portray this really vulnerable, specific soul. So I feel really lucky to be portraying Yitzhak.
So talk about the relationship then you have with Hedwig and that character on stage. Because, the thing about this, when it was on Broadway, originally with Neil Patrick Harris and Andrew Rannells, Michael Hall, and of course Mitchell and the whole group. Lena Hall was the original Yitzhak. So what is, when you think of that, I mean, it's such a strenuous, unbelievably taxing show for them, but also for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, often I'm very much concealed by the brilliant lighting design. I'm essentially the stage manager, costume manager, wig manager. I'm the roadie. I mean, that's essentially
right.
What Yitzhak is. And so their relationship is a very complex one, Yitzhak and Hedwig's. It's a very codependent one. Yitzhak is often mentally, physically, verbally abused. And that is hard. That is emotionally hard, as well as physically hard in all the things that I said I'm doing. You know, I'm essentially the stage manager. So I am in charge of every single thing, technically, that happens in Hedwig's show. And it is difficult, but it's also really fulfilling, and it's informing because, you know, by the end of the show, I've run that show.
Yes.
And I fully have realized what the dynamic of that relationship is. And so it helps me really become Yitzhak.
It seems that at the end of the show that, at least my take would be that you couldn't have given more to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does take pretty much everything you've got.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for saying that. Yes. Yitzhak leaves it all on the stage and does every single thing he can. And I think Hedwig does every single thing she can in the span of the evening. And you see how that culminates into something. It's really cool.
There are torturous elements. I mean, it's a tough story. And mm-hmm. so, but it is, it's also a beautiful musical. And I'm interested in what kind of audiences you get, and because it is very affecting and how it greets people in different ways.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful way to put it. It's so interesting in that it's told in the format of a rock concert.
Right.
So people can come and see it and just take away that, take away the music, take away the lights and the sound and all that. But really what you're seeing is a soul being exposed the entire night in front of you and really hearing this journey of this individual and how humanity can really rise from ashes, you know, and how your soul can be just so destroyed and then you can rise up and make the most of life and truly accept and love yourself and others. And so hopefully people will come and see that too, as well as the whole, you know, rock concert experience. Hopefully people will really hear the story that Hedwig is telling and take away some of those beautiful themes.
Do you see it? Are there nights or is it, or do you have to have the same thought process throughout the run? Or, I mean, were there your nights where you say, oh, tonight we can just, like, rock concert time. Like, well, you think of it, like, in your mind as, okay, it's just, like, this is going to be great. I'm a rock star.
Yeah, oh, totally. There are absolutely those moments, but it's also hard to deny, you know, playing the character of
Yitzhak.
Sure,
doing all you have to do.
Yeah, doing all that I have to do to control the actual show, but also, you know, there's a story. There's a real story that needs to be told throughout the course of the evening, and Yitzhak knows that. And Yitzhak has heard this story so many times, you know, Hedwig's story, that is, and heard these songs that Hedwig wrote herself. So, of course, there are moments that I'm like, we're going to rock out. But then the song ends and the story continues. And that's, I think, what really the heart of Hedwig is. And that's what I'm interested in, audiences hearing. And I'm really interested in, you know, the reception from that. Not only the gorgeous score by Stephen Trask, but the story that John Cameron Mitchell has, you know, come up with and...
That Stephen Trask music is really beautiful.
Oh my gosh, it's unreal.
It is
unreal. I am so lucky to be able to sing it. I mean, it's one of the best scores ever, in my opinion.
This verges on a talk showy question, but how does this play? I don't know. This is just my Blue State mentality, but how does you're from Clifton Park?
Yes,
you know what I'm talking about.
I get it.
How does this play in Kansas City? How does this play in the Rust Belt?
Durham, North Carolina.
In Durham, North Carolina, how does it play?
you know, it definitely was a little bit challenging, but. We, in those places, we just hope that, like I said, the message gets across and the themes of love, acceptance, loss can be relayed in an honest way. And hopefully some people in those audiences, in those red states, dare I say it, can walk away with a more open heart and a more accepting heart, because at the end of the day, we're all humans, and so that's what we're trying to portray. But yeah, of course, people walk out sometimes, and at the end of the day, we're doing our job. You know, that's disappointing, and you know, people think that we can't see them walk out, but we see you. We see you walk out. But it's like, you know, in Hedwig, it almost works out because we're, you know, we rely on the audience. The audience is essentially the other character, so
right.
It can, you know, the fourth wall is completely broken, and we can, as the character, see people walk out. And in those moments, it's, you know, I think to myself as Yitzhak, we're doing our job, and people just can't, they don't want to go there mentally, they don't want to go there emotionally, and that's their prerogative. But at times, yes, touring the country in some of those states has been a challenge, but a unique challenge as actors, and also just a great observation of humans across our country.
I remember talking to some actors who did, because I saw a performance of Avenue Q once in Las Vegas, and like when the puppets start having sex, everybody got up and left. You know, it was just like mass exodus. And you know, the older people weren't expecting that, and they're gone. You know, they're done. And and some of the members of the cast who I talked to at that point said, oh, this, like, it was just gut-wrenching, because it was every night, you know, you just, like, waited for the audience to go from 1,500 to 5, you know?
Yeah.
but they felt, just as you articulated beautifully, that it's something that you feel, it's an opportunity that you're given to, now they were, I mean, they were a company that was actually housed there, but so they really had a contract and couldn't get away. but you know, you do have an opportunity to then go to the next place.
Yes, we do. And it always, you know, it is sometimes a breath of fresh air. And when we do go to a place that's really open, you know, Seattle.
Sure.
Atlanta, Georgia, actually, surprisingly, was...
Did you play the Fox?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful
it
theater.
It was amazing. Yeah. You know, and that was a surprising response. But, of course, you know, it's some days are more challenging than others. But that's our job, and I'm lucky to have it.
Well, you are indeed. It's the winner of 4 2014 Tony Awards, including Best Musical Revival. It's Hedwig and the Angry Inch. It's a beautiful, amazing show. It plays at Proctor's tonight and tomorrow. And if you knew Hannah Cornow Wen, Well, by goodness, you should come out and see her perform. It's wonderful to have you back. Congratulations. And just have a great time.
Thank you so much for having me. Great
Beautiful having
you
here. Thank you very much. You're listening at proctors.org for more information, by the way. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.